I know you appreciate very much our good friend and brother Sean O'Neill for presenting the material that he did today. And hardly any of us, even on board, recognized all of the hoops that he'd have to jump through and carry on in order for the camp to continue to exist in a good way. But nevertheless, that did take place, and he was man to the task and capable of doing that, and smart enough to study along with some of these teachers in the programs and everything that he could make good grades in, whether it was food management or if it were electrical things to be done. Had a friend from California that came over to visit him one day, and when he was traveling through the South and all, just on vacation time. And he was looking around. He was a very polished electrician. Apparently in the California, they had to have certification on each type of thing that they did in electricity. Each time thing that they did, they had to have certification for that field to do. And he had virtually every one of those kind of things. And he got to looking up there and he says, listen, he says, where's the box for this? And Sean said, well, I'm just new here, tell me. And he said, well, let me have a little look at this. And he did, and found out that we were running out of some small boxes. We were running five times as much electricity to our bathhouses, to our cabins themselves, and to the dining hall, to the kitchen area. I mean, it's amazing that we did not have already a major, major kind of fire to exist there. And so they began immediately to make changes in that regard, and because of that friend that he had to drop by there, we had a lot more information about it in that sort of ways. Good to see you tonight. The power of God. The power of God is a majestic thing described in the Bible for us in the very first verse of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It notes with us regarding this creation of God that he insisted that it be the way that he wanted it to be. The psalmist declares this in Psalm 33. Beautiful section of reading there is in that particular psalm. Psalm 33 and verse 6, he says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God made those things because he commanded that that be done. All the elements of nature around about were brought together in the presence of the heavens and the earth. And the stars, the host of things that were there, by the very breath of his mouth, as the Lord had a way of looking at things and voicing out things, there were the stars that were there. God's power was majestic in the creation. God's power was majestic in the way that he ordered and ruled the design of man and all the creatures. The passage used in Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4 tells us that every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. The idea of a man building a house out of wood, but where did the wood come from? Well, it came from, the scripture says, the hand of God. God made those particular things that man now adjusts and makes those things so that scientists now tell us that you do not create it and you do not destroy it, but it's there nevertheless that you have the energy of the world in which we exist. God's power and design was for the man. Every house is built by some man. But he that built the man, built the materials that the man used to build the house, built all things, is God. Wonderful it is to talk about this great God, and without him, there is not a plausible, easy explanation for the things that are all around us. The trees that are there, the air that we breathe, the various systems of things that work together, we do not have any explanation suitable enough for those things to exist. Yet they do exist, and they do serve us well. It is said regarding the word of the Lord that it was the word of the Lord that brought about the power that we find in the life of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it is said, before you were made or formed in the belly, before you were brought forth out of the womb, I knew thee, and I also ordained thee to be a prophet unto me." What does Jeremiah have? Jeremiah had a time of coming. He had a time of birth just like you and I. At the same time, when he was born, he was known of the Lord by name. Jeremiah, before you were formed, the formation of man is described in Psalms 139 to be in the lowest parts of the earth, in the depth of the earth, to be brought forth, saying that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist declared. Indeed, that is the case. And in the life of Jeremiah, the design and ordained work of Jeremiah was set forth by God's great power. God was with Jeremiah in a time that was a vicious time, protected him and cared for him even when he was kidnapped. It's good to note to you and me that God does not always keep things from happening around our lives or around the lives of these in the Bible. There are circumstances that Jeremiah faced, for example, and underwent his time, and when he was kidnapped by those men who wished to prove him to be wrong, that there was not a judgment coming against Jerusalem and not a judgment coming against them for 70 years of time. It was the case that they wanted to kidnap him to prove that that was not going to be the case. And when Jeremiah arrived down in Egypt, he noted the very spot where they set him would be the spot where Nebuchadnezzar would bring his chariot and bring his throne and seat it there in Egypt. And it did happen just like that. Even history itself tells us of that event that took place. And how that took place, Jeremiah well knew that it was going to do that and reveal that to them, trying to get them to realize their ways to follow. He's the one who said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." Directing our steps as we go along in life requires the hand of God and the word of God direct us and find, teach us that way. The psalmist would declare such things as that in Psalm 119 in verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway." So it is that the word of God is a lamp and a light, provides for us near sight to see what's around us, and we need to do that, and it provides for us the light to see yet in the distance. It is a light unto our pathway. It is noted also in the Psalm 139:19 and verse 130 that the entrance of the Lord's word giveth light. It's the way that light comes into our hearts and our minds. We can see. Some of the old people in the church used to say about things that when they learned the gospel, when they were taught the word of the Lord, when they went home and got the Bible down and looked at it, a light turned on to them. They could see what the man was preaching, what he was teaching them, what he was wanting them to do to obey the Lord. They became New Testament Christians from the difference of their old denominational tie that they had and membership that they had in a denominational world. They found themselves in the New Testament Church of the Lord, and they found themselves with every kind of blessing from the Lord's work and Lord's way in their lives. It's important for us to appreciate that and look at that. Before we get out of the Old Testament, we go to two passages found, first off in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 6, where Samuel is speaking to the people and telling them that God advanced Moses and Aaron. They did not advance themselves. It was not the case that they, with their own volition, decided I would be a leader to the people of Israel. God advanced Moses and Aaron. That was a case that God did that with them lives. And God will do that with your life and mine. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, it is here that the notation is given. It is God who gives unto men the ability to make wealth. How does wealth come? Well, many people have monies that come their way. Lots of money that comes their way sometimes. But along the way, without that mind to think about the righteous way of doing things and the righteous way of behaving in life, not very many are able to keep that money. Keep any of it, in fact. It's a fact that it's lost many times by people who just do not realize what they have in their hands. And they do not realize that because, again, they're not being led by the light of God's word in His way, in which it is noted there, Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. It is God who gives unto men the ability to make wealth. God gives us that ability in our ways. God, another way, helps us in our daily walk of life, that Jesus taught us to pray about our daily bread, you remember. And how that our daily bread will come, that we does not, and we've learned through that through the years, we do not find ourselves thinking about daily bread coming in some sort of miraculous, quick fashion to our table, day by day. But rather we think about a way to earn a living, to use some of those funds in order to have that bread and to utilize that bread for the strength and energy of our bodies. It is God's supplying of that, however, and He wants to have us to say to Him in prayer, give us today our daily bread. And indeed, that's the way that we as disciples of the Lord should consider it. We sometimes take too much credit for the things that God has ordered us to do and given us a way of doing in our daily walk of life. By the intelligence that we have and the ability that we have to do it, the opportunity is right and good. Going to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 through 32, we read how the Lord here through Paul notes to the people that those of you who steal no more, but labor with your hands that which is good, that you may have to give to those that have need. How are we supposed to help others around about us in life? Give to those who have need. But instead of our hands being used for thievery purposes and for purposes that the law of the land will be against us and we'll be incarcerated, it is the case that we, with our hands, use those things to serve, that we may have to give to those that have need. He goes on there in the 32nd verse to talk about this God of heaven and how we're to be people who honor Him and honor His right way, because it is this God who through Jesus Christ our Lord hath forgiven us, and we're to forgive others of their trespasses against us, because God Himself has forgiven us according to His Son in that same way. So it is that the strength that God gives to us to live and to behave and to do in this old world is a part of His daily walk of life. Sometimes I'm asked to go to various school performances and activities to be done, various clubs that are meeting, and I like to do that. But at the same time, I like to share something in the Scripture that's very practical to them in this day and age of time. And I found a verse in Proverbs 22, verse 4, that tells me something that I found that every young person lifts up their eyes, they open their eyes for, they listen closely with their ears too. This passage there in Proverbs 22, verse 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord come riches and honor and life. These young people may not know a lot about life and a lot of circumstances of it, but they know that they want to be liked very well by others around about them and want to have honor. They want to have also some money in their pocket, some greenbacks in their pocket to do, use, and everything. They want to have that. But riches, honor, and life come by way of being humble and the respect or fear of the Lord. That's the power that He's given to us. And it's a strength that we can use. And if we will find ourselves being humble in life, prayerful in our dispositions of the day, and we know what we need to be, because we're tempted to say the things and do the things in life from day to day, hardly like any other generation of time. We find ourselves just in a miserable situation like that. But if we find ourselves in 1 John 1:9 confessing our sins and finding that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we have real blessings that come from Him in that way. We live a peaceful, forgiven way of life. It's a good thing for us to do, to be that way. And when we find ourselves doing that sort of a practice in life, we find ourselves sharing with others that that's a way to live and a way to do as well. It's a good thing to be done when we honor the power of God. Let's quickly go back over and review our circumstances tonight. First off, in the creation power of the heavens and the earth, God is very uniquely powerful for that. It is the case that every house being built by some man, we do use things that God has arranged for us, and with the intelligence and the wisdom that we have to make wealth, we find ourselves with people who have great skill to hew trees and to fix them up in such a way and to order those particular woods in such a way that they can build those houses and structure will be strong and it'll be workable for people to live in a comfortable way to keep themselves from the cold of the winter time and from the heat of the summertime. It's a good thing to note that that is the case. And God has provided, he says, that for us. Furthermore, God provided for Moses and for Aaron. When we get to thinking that Moses and Aaron advanced themselves, that they did, we are far from being right. Because it is the case that Samuel even knew Moses and Aaron were advanced by the Lord. That's the way he did. And finally, the way that the Lord advances us is to keep us doing his will. Praying for the bread every day. Praying for our sins to be forgiven of us. Praying for in such a way that we live honorably before the Lord. He has the power and the strength to offer forgiveness for our lives. And we have a way to live before him. And one of these days when all of a sudden we have breathed our last breath, we have had our last heartbreak to beat, we find ourselves going on to life's other side. We'll find an opportunity to meet him and to be with him and to be thankful in his very presence for the good that he's done and for the great power and strength that he used in his life. And let's not forget that beautiful passage in Psalm 33 and in verse 6. It is by the word of the Lord that all these things have been made. And it is the case that by the breath of his mouth, the host of heaven came about. What a wonderful God he is. And we have that way to live before him in day to day. As this song is sung tonight, let's remind ourselves of where we are in relationship to him. And if you're far afield from him, come back in words of prayer. Confession and wrongdoing, and that'll be done. Or if you need to be baptized into Christ, things are ready for you. We hope that you'll do that. As we stand together, let us sing together.
There's a fountain praising for you and me. Let us raise the praise to its ring. It's the fountain of love from the source above, and he gives us all.
Father, would just so grateful for the great sacrifice that's made for us and all the world. Father, this bread represents that broken body upon the cross. Father, we pray that for the sake of it, do some of the manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fruit of vine, which represents the precious blood that was shed for us. And Father, we pray that you partake of it, do so in the manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Do we have any other announcements we need to make this evening? Well, let's turn to number 186. 186, and after the song, Bill will give you some prayer. Thank you. Holy, holy, holy. Church that meets here. Thank you for Robert and James. They work here.
thankful for all the men that participated.
Amen.
Father, we just want to do what you've asked us to do. To lift you up above all the things that we have on this earth. Go with us through this week, Father. Watch over and care for us. And help us, Father, to have a successful week and to put you into everything that we do.
Amen.
Forgive us for our sins, Father, for we do fall short at times. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.